Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for joining into Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I am Paul Marks, your host, and we have a great show today with wonderful guests who are experts on the topics of that we're going to be discussing today. Now, you own or you manage multifamily properties. How are you engaging and interacting with your employees? Is the customer service your employees provide the best that it can be? It's all tied together. So with this in mind, our topic today is improving employee engagement and customer service. We are so lucky and honored to have two ladies on the show today that know this topic inside and out. Joining me in the studio is longtime multifamily industry veteran Stephanie Graves, the co-founder and CEO of Q10 Property Advisors, and Mindy Price, Vice President of Sales with J. Turner Research. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So, Stephanie, the topic I'm sure we could discuss for more than the hour that we have. Mm-hmm. Customer service and employee engagement, how does it tie together?
Oh, well, considering that we're now in the social media era where everyone looks you up and sees what strangers think about you before they see what they themselves think about you, this is the time that customer service is of the utmost importance in renewal and the entire sales process. So engaging employees, making sure that they're participating in that process and that they're servicing customers on a day-to-day basis is instrumental in renewals.
Absolutely. And if you think about it, there's no place like home, right? There's nothing more personal than where somebody lives. And the amount of income that or the cost that somebody's paying for rent, typically that's the most expensive line item that they have. So they literally are making sure that they are happy, they're being treated well, that they feel like they are special because we're all tuned into that radio station, right? Mm-hmm. WIIFM, what's in it for me?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So when it comes to employee engagement, to me, that seems to be the one that is the most challenging of the two. Customer service, there's so much out there about customer service, but every employee is different and every company culture is different. So what are some of the things, the tips that you could offer based on your customer service and employee engagement?
Gosh, Mindy, who's going first? I think with employee engagement, you know, just like our residents are different, our employees are different, mm-hmm. and everybody, you know, there's multiple books out there about love languages and work languages and figuring out what every employee needs individually and how you can get them motivated is a struggle every day. I know Mindy and I have done lots of trainings together and spend time together in the industry. And, you know, keeping yourself engaged is one thing in this society, right? Like, how do you keep coming to work every day? But then when you have a team of people that have toilets exploding and residents yelling at them and people not paying their rent and dealing with the day-to-day struggles, you know, we have day-to-day struggles in our lives of, you know, how do I pay my rent? I mean, some of our employees have those struggles and then they have to deal with residents that aren't paying their rent. So it certainly is a challenge. The employer, the manager has to be engaged in that process because how the employees are treated is how the employees or team members, as we call them, treat their residents.
Mm-hmm. And so it's like the old saying, which came first, the chicken or the egg, mm-hmm. right? Which mm-hmm. comes first, the employee or the customer? In my opinion, it's the employee. And it's about who you hire and making sure that you hire somebody that fits well with your team. Attitudes are contagious. Mm-hmm. And there's a quote, attitudes are contagious. Is theirs worth catching? Is yours worth catching? So really figuring out who the next team member needs to be to make yours complete. You can't have too many of the same personality types working on one property. It just won't work. Your turnover is going to be through the roof. And then you think about the stress level that you have at corporate and just running the property from the top down. So it is about the chicken or the egg. And I say it's the employee, mm-hmm. right? Because if your employees are taking care of your customers, being our residents, then everybody's going to be happier. And the other key point to that is listening. You have to listen to what your employees are saying. You cannot assume you know what they need. And then specifically providing them whatever that thing is that motivates them and drives them, and then making sure you're hiring the correct managers to be able to identify those things and really be able to listen. And so sometimes it's, you know, just sending out a quick survey, finding out, you know, what's going on, what are your hot buttons this week, what are some things that we're going to focus on in the next 3 months to make sure everybody's on the same page. If you had the opportunity to had of a magic wand to say my work environment would be best if I had this. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you can do it all, right, Stephanie?
Sure, yeah. Certainly, but certainly not.
What if we got some ideas from our team members that helped us make an impact on the company as a whole?
Sure.
Because when they're happy, the residents are going to be happy.
Or happier. I think, you know, it's a great opportunity now. A lot of your listeners, I think, are independent owners and have smaller properties. And so, you know, you have that level of frustration with an office full of multiple employees. Think about what that looks like with a one-person office. And so we have that on a lot of our properties. There are smaller assets. And so when you have one person in the office, who are they motivating?
Right?
Like they're doing high fives and tapping themselves on the back sometimes.
Right.
And so giving that support, and we're guilty of it as well, because we all get caught up in our day-to-day that we forget that if something's functioning well and the property's working well and you don't hear from it, you know, squeaky wheel gets the grease. And so, you know, I think we look at reviews online and feedback from customers sometimes as a blessing, because it can wake you up to what's really happening on that property. And so as much as I don't want to hear that, you know, the manager wasn't accommodating a resident or that they treated them in a bad way, it kind of gives you a wake-up call that maybe you're not engaging your employees on the level that you need to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's November, right? And so this is the amazing time of year when we're given a great opportunity and excuse to engage our employees and make them feel appreciated. So
right.
Certainly take advantage of those times that you can when you have a little bit of extra holiday time and can give them more time or give them what they need to satisfy the needs that they have in their lives.
I didn't know there was downtime in multifamily.
Well, that's because you're a vendor.
I have a supplier partner.
Supplier partner. Yes.
So one of the things that we've discussed a couple of times on the show with different people is, and I'd like to get your opinions, how do you find your team? Where do you find your team? And I can tell you that we had somebody on the show in the last few weeks who had indicated that somebody handed them a card. They were a server at a restaurant, and the person liked their attitude and handed them a card. What are you finding in our ways to build this team?
Yes,
to find them?
I think there's been multiple happy hours that Mindy and I have been at that we have given an extra tip to our server, which was call me sometime and let's work something out. You know, the service industry is a great industry. I mean, if you can tolerate people yelling, like baristas at Starbucks, the way people treat baristas at Starbucks that mess up their coffee, like if they can tolerate somebody yelling and screaming at them because they didn't give them a double shot with no mocha
mm-hmm.
and a latte double sip or whatever, and they're yelling and screaming, when you can tolerate that type of customer, then shoot, it's easy when someone's yelling at you because their toilet's exploding.
Absolutely. And you know what? You bring up Starbucks, and I love the story of Howard Schultz, the gentleman, the founder of mm-hmm. Starbucks. He was one that thought outside the box. And so hiring and engaging employees, you have to think outside the box. It has to be new. It has to be fresh. We're always looking for great talent.
Oh, and now especially, I mean, the employment rate is the lowest it's ever been. And so that we see those struggles on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
Yes. And what Howard did in thinking outside the box. So he went to his board and said, look, our turnover rate is over 300% for the coffee industry. We've got to change this. We've got to hire the best people. But how do we do that? We've got to pay higher wages. Most of our employees are part-time. And we've got to offer insurance. Well, Paul, Stephanie, you know, he was the laughingstock for a minute. They're like, we're not going to do this. But then they decided to do it. They did something out of the ordinary. They decreased their turnover rate. It was 5% lower than anybody else in that business that they had that in the coffee industry. So if we think about it from our business, from multifamily, we need to think outside the box. And yes, we'd love to hire that star leasing associate or manager from XYZ property down the road, but there could be that all-star, like Stephanie said, that Starbucks or at that happy hour or at that restaurant or where you're getting ice cream served or at the car wash. You never know. It's mm-hmm. paying attention to somebody who has a servant leader heart. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need in our business.
Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that, you know, obviously when we're talking about a team at multifamily, we're not just talking about a manager or a leasing agent. We're talking about maintenance
yes.
men. And that comes with a completely different type of qualification and skill set.
Oh, yes.
How do you try to engage them and get them to take that skill set that they have and also give good customer service.
Yeah, so I think we're certainly at a deficit right now. Mm-hmm. The maintenance personnel are, I don't want to say aging themselves out, but it's tougher and tougher to find younger talent that you can mold into place. And so there's lots of programs that I know the Apartment Association helps with. There's veterans programs that are working to get more people in the industry. But it's very difficult from a maintenance perspective when you think about their day-to-day challenges. I mean, spend a day in the life of a maintenance personnel and you'll see why they're frustrated. Not to mention that they're on call 24/7. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's if they get a dollar more or 50 cents more somewhere else, sometimes they leave because they're not on call if they're building a road.
Right.
Yeah. So finding that talent certainly is a challenge.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break in just a second. I do want to remind our listeners that you can go to our website and make show topic suggestions or guest suggestions, as well as listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters by going to www.multifamilyradio.com. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we're back and you're listening to Multifamily Matters. We're discussing the topic of improving employee engagement and customer service. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me is longtime multifamily industry veteran Stephanie Graves, the co-founder and CEO of Q10 Property Advisors, and Mindy Price, Vice President of Sales at J. Turner Research. So during the break, we were discussing several things when it comes to employee engagement, but what are the three rules that you try to do when you bring somebody on? What are the top three things that you try to do to get them on the right track?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we try so hard to find employees. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're interviewing 25 candidates before we find one or two leasing agents that actually work or maintenance personnel that work. And so once you get them on board and you get them their first day that they're starting, it's important that you start that process solid. Multiple studies show that the first 90 days can make or break that relationship. So you want to make sure you're onboarding adequately, correctly. You know, I'm a firm believer that in all these relationships that we have, the number one killer in a relationship is false expectations. And so, you know, we try to paint, when I'm actually interviewing people, I try to paint a really bleak picture. People are going to yell at you and you're going to have to work late and you're going to have to work on weekends. And if you ever unclogged a toilet, because, you know, if you can paint kind of a bleak picture and set that expectation, then they're going to be like, oh, this is nothing, you know, with customers too. When customers come in, we try to, you know, so paint those expectations. So I think onboarding is key, making sure that you're setting good expectations, that they understand that this is a relationship in which they're going to give and you're going to give. You know, Mindy's going through that onboarding process right now, I think, with a new employee. So mm-hmm. What does that look like for you guys?
Well, it's, you know, first and foremost, like we said in the first segment, making sure you do have that right candidate. And as Stephanie said, it could be 20, 25 candidates that you go through before you feel like you have that individual. And I do think setting expectations is very important. Now, being on the supplier partner side, no longer wearing my management hat, I think that if I told somebody it was all doom and gloom, I wouldn't have a sales department. And, you know, they do say sometimes we do have a little bit more fun on the supplier side. But we're not faced with the stress and the pressure of those clogged toilets or playing psychiatrist or therapist. Now, sometimes we do for our clients. Sure. You know, we have to listen. But it really is about, you know, for us having a great program that helps the industry. And so that makes it a lot easier where we have people that are coming to us often saying they want to be a part of the team. But you also have to let them know what goes into that and what you expect on a day-to-day basis and what the goals look like and finding out what it is that are their hot buttons, which goes back to making sure you have that right personality. Because you could think, for instance, for us, and if we think about the leasing position is a sales position, but you don't want every property with that same bulldog and a, you know, or pig in a china closet, whatever that saying is, you know, because everybody will literally be fighting if you have more than that one associate that's there high-fiving themselves, like you said, Stephanie. Yeah. So it's about finding those right personalities and understanding everybody does things differently as long as they're getting to the same result. And so giving that team member, and for instance, the new team member that we've recently brought on, Denise, understanding her personality, it's different than my personality. And our other team members are different. And how to support them with what they need, but also having a structure. Mm-hmm. Also having, these are parameters. The things that, parameters. Mm-hmm. You need to understand this. This is our mission. These are our goals. This is what we do. Mm-hmm. And then it's about how you want to go out and you want to sell that.
So how long do you spend with a new team member? Like, what's your onboarding time frame? Sorry, I'm taking over the questions now.
Okay. No
yeah.
problem.
So for instance, it's 4 weeks. We have a 4-week training program for our new sales associates because we feel it's very important for them to understand the program through and through and what each position within our company does and how they make it happen and what happens behind the scenes. And so it's 4 weeks before they're out. And then if they need more time, we also understand that. And so that's another key point. You have a set training program. You may have somebody that comes in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, they're ready to go. Mm-hmm. And so you work with them that way. Or you may have somebody that maybe they need a couple more weeks and you don't frown upon that. If they're open and honest, and if there's areas that you need to make sure that they understand, the one thing you have to do is self-reflection. Because what if it's the way you're training? What if it's the way you're speaking to that employee that it isn't resonating with them? So you might have to pivot and move forward. But yes, we do have that program. Typically, it's anywhere from 4 weeks to 6 weeks. Every now and then you have somebody that gets finished a little sooner.
Sure.
But it's just providing that support, as you said, laying out expectations and then moving forward and then providing that support anytime they need it. Mm-hmm. And I do believe in an open door policy as well. I think it's very important to be able to speak frankly and very transparently with your employees, and I like to call them teammates and family members, you know, with your teammates to make sure everybody's always on the same page. And there's not a day that goes by that we shouldn't all learn something.
Mm-hmm. Stephanie, when I'm here 4 weeks,
I know.
And
we go, oh my God, I wish.
Right. Yeah, right. So, I mean, because I would think in the management side, when you have an opening, you have an opening and you've got to fill that as quickly as you can. And you know, if you had 4 weeks to spend, that would be great. But I mean, what do you typically see when you're looking for somebody to
come in? Yeah, it's a struggle. It really is. I mean, you know, sometimes you don't know when they're not coming in. You know, we have several properties, and in any given day, I'll have 2 to 3 people that call in sick. And so, you know, when you're already, there's small margins in the management side of it. And so when you're already struggling to make sure that you have the adequate staff, or if it's a one-person office and that person calls in and it's on the other side of town, you got to, like, you know, pivot, talk about pivoting, right? And so we try to staff and have floaters that can cover those times. But, you know, if you have 3 people out and I got one floater, you know, her leg can't be in one spot and her arm be in the other, right? So I think from in a management perspective, it is a very challenging job, because you may send somebody over to a property and no one may come in for the day. Mm-hmm. And so you've gone, oh, I picked the wrong one. And the other ones, they're complaining online that the office is closed. So we typically have, we have an 8-day process, but, you know, our struggle is it isn't always 8 consecutive days. So we have, you know, an onboarding checklist that we go through where, you know, the first day is like, this is the copy machine and this is the phone number. But, you know, giving them the resources. When we hire and we train, and I think, you know, I try to spread the word as much as we can from a management perspective when I do management training, but we hire for curiosity and flexibility. And so those are the two characteristics. In every single interview, I do situational questions that talk about flexibility and curiosity. Because if you're not flexible in our industry, you're going to be frustrated. You're not going to be able to live on a day-to-day basis. It's going to be really a struggle for you. And curiosity. You know, I want someone that's going to ask questions and that's going to see something, you know, see something hanging from a side of a building and be curious about it, or see a resident slam their door and go, maybe they're upset about something. Maybe I should ask. So curiosity is really important, and we train and we hire from that life skills perspective, and then we train the software. And understanding your culture within your company is important. You know, our saying has always been people before paper. So if I email you about a report and you have 5 people, or I call you, I always say, is there anybody in your office? What are you doing? Because, you know, what we do on a day-to-day basis with our customers and keeping them engaged is the number one priority. And so if you do that from a management perspective, you like to believe that they try to do that on the onset site side. But, you know, you and I have talked about this before. We have a huge struggle in our industry because most people are in an office. You know, it's a factory, right? And a factory is designed to produce what it's producing, right? But we have 25 sites all over Houston, little bitty factories all over, and trying to control all of those factories remotely always is a challenge, because I'm only as good as the person that's on that property. You know, they're Q10 to everyone, to the owner, to the resident. So it's an interesting perspective. And as people enter in the industry, as those individual owners come and do 1 or 2 properties, you know, it's about people. And right. So making sure that you, property management is easy, people management is crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
We're going to talk in the last 2 segments about the customer service aspect, but I wanted to kind of wrap this up with, because I know both of you teach, and when you hire someone who's green to the industry, like we were talking about a server, someone from the service industry, there's a lot of things that they need to know, especially like fair housing and things like that. So what is it that you do? At what point do you do it? And what can you recommend to the listeners?
Go ahead. What you got, Mindy?
Well, fair housing happens to be near and dear to my heart. Mm-hmm. We've got a class coming up with Howard Bookstaff for HAA at the end of November for the fair housing and beyond class. But that's something you've got to start teaching from day one. Mm-hmm. You have to lay that foundation. They need to understand the 7 protected classes. And so that would be part of that onboarding process, because it is what we deal with on a daily basis, even as supplier partners. Mm-hmm. Our suppliers have to understand that, because they could be pulled into some type of dispute or discrimination claim. So it's absolutely something that's very important. And, you know, we could talk customer service all day long. We could talk fair housing. We could have a class on that all day long. And the thing is that it's constantly changing. Mm-hmm. So you have to be aware of what's going on.
Yeah. Legislation is, we're having many struggles right now in the apartment industry. So fair housing would be one, basic customer service, management 101, like, have they ever lived in an apartment before is important. You know, right. When you're looking at a lease, what does it mean that they have to pay their rent on time? You know, when you're hiring people that have never lived in an apartment before and never seen a lease, I remember when I first entered the industry, I was shocked that at the 5th of the month, there was people that didn't pay their rent. I was like, that's an option, right? Like, why aren't they bringing me the money? What do you mean I have to go get it? And so that's a real culture shock for people that have, you know, paid their rent every month on time and maybe live with their parents and never had an idea. So the basics of what we do when you're dealing with people in the customer service realm that you bring into our industry, and then that level of crazy that you deal with sometimes is
yeah.
Crazy.
That.
Crazy.
Well, listen, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management.
Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogix professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogix at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Well, we're back and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of improving employee engagement and customer service. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me in the studio is longtime industry veteran Stephanie Graves, the co-founder and CEO of Q10 Property Advisors, and Mindy Price, Vice President of Sales at J. Turner Research. Before we jump into the conversation, I want to take a moment to thank the exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Econserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the United States. Rasa Floors, the professional flooring advisor specializing in make-ready replacement flooring for the multifamily industry throughout Texas and Oklahoma. WaterLogix, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And Ted W. Allen & Associates, specializing in multifamily habitational insurance since 1967. So I'm going to urge our listeners now, grab a pencil and a piece of paper, because Mindy has a lot of facts and figures that she's going to throw out. I mean, she does work for J. Turner Research, so she's got a lot of research data that she can share with us. We talked in the first two segments about engaging the employees, and now we're talking about customer service. What's the goal of customer service besides the obvious? What's the end game in the multifamily industry? What are you trying to achieve?
Well, you know, ideally, I think everyone wants a referral atmosphere in their property. You know, you want to be the one, you want to be the property that your residents are talking about. You want to be the good guy that gets the referrals. And referrals are a big part of our business. And so creating a referral and a loyal customer base from a property perspective is key to our success. It reduces our expenses in advertising. You're getting we talked about creating those expectations. You know, you're having your residents and you create the expectations for their friends and their family members. So I think ultimately the perfect scenario, a utopia, would be, you know, 100% referral property where everyone's proud to live there and you've got glowing reviews and you're number one on the Aura ratings of J. Turner.
Right. Well, and Mindy, it really is about the two R's, renewal and referral. What does your research show as far as what the percentages are of people who will refer or renew?
Well, so that goes, there's a number of different numbers that are out there on referrals and renewals, but your happy customers, as long as there's not a reason for them not to renew because of change in job, you can't you can't help that, right?
Sure,
if they're moving away or if they have a life change, right? I don't have those exact numbers with me today on what they are, but they're very high. So we're getting those numbers in all the time through the survey data that we do just through our resident program. But when you look at why residents aren't renewing and where they're coming from, the majority of them are coming from another apartment. And mm-hmm. there's multiple reasons that they're doing that. And one of those reasons is they just don't feel like there's that sense of community at their property.
Right.
And they don't feel like they are receiving the type of customer service that they want to provide. As I said in the first segment, it's the largest portion of their income that they're spending on a monthly basis. So they're really paying attention to that. Mm-hmm. But as far as referrals, so when we look at referrals, we're not, yes, that word of mouth, we always said that's the best form of advertisement. That's the least expensive form of advertisement. Well, now it's not just that word of mouth. What are we in? We're in a socially driven society, an online driven society. And so to get that online review is extremely important nowadays because 71% of prospects start their journey online. So it's no longer location and price. It's okay. It's location, price, and online reviews. And you don't know what you don't know, right? You don't know which prospect is passing your property by simply because the online reviews are negative. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to another property across the way that is providing excellent customer service, that has become very good about asking for the online review. And by the way, thinking of online reviews, in the latest study that we did with over 39,000 respondents from residents on the conventional side and over 19, I think the number was 19,000 for student housing properties, only 27% of residents have been asked to leave a review. That's kind of crazy, Stephanie, if you think about
right.
it.
Yeah.
So be confident in the level of service that you're providing and ask those residents to go and give you that review, because that number, 71%, it is just mind-blowing. But then it's over 80% that say they go online at some point in time to actually decide if they're going to lease there. So at some point in time in their journey, they're looking online mm-hmm. as a way to decide that. But we asked a question. This one to me just literally, you guys, if you could just see my face right now, I know we're on the radio, but 52% of the decision to lease at your property is based on your online reviews. Oh my gosh.
It's crazy. It's unbelievable that we put so much faith in a complete stranger.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I mean, with restaurants, with everything. And so certainly with your living decision, and, you know, from the apartment perspective, we all say, oh, it's just because all the crazy residents go online and they put negative reviews and they were being evicted anyway. And but, you know, there's a lot, people have a BS meter. And mm-hmm. so, you know, if you're actively participating in that online reputation and you're combating those negative reviews with positive reviews and doing what you need to do on a day-to-day basis, you know, that's about customer service. That's about creating an advocate for your brand and doing what you can to make sure that people are aware that that you're not just what strangers say about you.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of people in the industry today who, you know, are relatively young. Mm-hmm. They don't know what it was like before online became like, give them an example. I mean, how did someone find an apartment before there was an internet to go to?
Yeah, so there was this magazine. There was several magazines, and so you know, it was you literally went to HEB or Kroger and picked up a print publication is what we called them, and there was pictures, maybe probably just one picture, usually the sign picture, which I never quite understood, but the sign picture of your property, and then it gave you the statistics and you would literally thumb through the book and look for it. The cost to produce those publications was crazy too. And you couldn't change your rates instantly like you could now. I feel like I'm like 85 years old. You know, you had to keep your rates the same for a whole month because the next publication didn't come out until the next or the special. And how did you find out about your comps and who was competing against you? You use those same publications. Mm-hmm. You know, when I first started on site, I remember getting all the publications. I'm going to do some name dropping, like For Rent and Apartment Guide and Apartment Home Living. They were all magazines. And when you did your closeout every month, you actually tore out the paper that mm-hmm. was your advertising and proved that this is what your ad and this is what you published. And so we've come a long way to that instant gratification culture.
Right.
And so now I don't have to go to the grocery store and pick up a book. I can pick up my phone. And so being conscious of that immediate need for information, whether it's good or bad online, we're driven as a culture by immediate gratification and the supply of information. So if you're not supplying your residents with valid information, with solid information, with value in what they're buying, your neighbor, your competitor will, and certainly your residents and your non-advocates will. Those residents that don't pay their rent, that maybe had a cockroach in their bathroom or whatever it is, if you're not providing the positive, then certainly that negative will spread much faster and sabotage your online presence.
Absolutely. And, you know, thinking about that satisfied resident, we asked a question that basically said, will you renew your lease versus overall satisfaction? And those residents that were highly satisfied on a scale of 0 to 10, you know, theirs was 8.14. Mm-hmm. They said, yes, they will renew versus the naysayers at 6.04. And then another thing to think about, you brought up rates. And so the old books, you know, the paper where you had to keep your rates the same. Just a fun fact for the listeners today. Something to think about. So we asked the question for those that their lease was expiring this year versus those that were expiring in 2019. We said, would you renew your lease right now at the same rate? And those expiring in 2019 said 72% of them said they would. Those expiring right now, 65% of them said they would renew. So that 72%, Stephanie, I want your thought on this. We've been kicking this idea around. We've got them in a 12-month lease, let's say. They're 4 months in. We find out that there's a sweet spot right there at that 4 month mark. They're really happy. If you were able to go to that resident and say, would you extend your lease another 12 months at the exact same rate? Excuse me. And they said, yes.
Would you think about doing that?
Mm-hmm. Because your cost of turnover is so high. Mm-hmm. If you can lock in the rate today, because we don't know what's going to happen in the market in 2019. Hopefully we continue to see growth, but we could flatten out. Would you guys think about doing something like that?
Yes, I think I certainly would. Yeah, I think.
What would your owners think?
I think, you know, it's always push, push, push. Mm-hmm. But I think as a management agent, it's your job to inform them on what their best interest is. I mean, we can all look at the numbers and say this acceleration of rent and this level of occupancy cannot continue. There has to be, you know, more is coming on the market. And, you know, so I think the majority of owners would much rather have a stable community at a good rate than have turnover for $10. I mean, what are you raising rents? You know what I mean? $50? Is it worth $50? So yeah, I think on some properties and with some, you know, if you're not on in a crazy market, that's raising $200 rents every month. But yeah, I think it's something certainly to think about when you see the data and what residents are willing to do and willing to commit to.
Does it have any effect on, you know, the occupancy of the property? If you had a property that was in the low 90s, would owners be more interested in trying to lock someone in?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, we most of our properties operate at 95%. That's kind of our sweet spot. And mm-hmm. so we keep them there as much as possible. So certainly if we were struggling in a market, which, you know, there's some markets that we're struggling in. I think your occupancy is always going to drive your prices and your need to renew residents at a certain rate.
Okay. Well, we are going to take a break. We will be back with our final segment of today's show. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget.
Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Well, we're back with our final segment of Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing the topic of improving employee engagement and customer service. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me is longtime multifamily industry veteran Stephanie Graves, the co-founder and CEO of Q10 Property Advisors, and Mindy Price, Vice President of Sales at J. Turner Research. Mindy, I know you brought with you a lot of facts and figures. You also brought something that from a class you were a webinar you were working with on the top 10 phrases, and it applies to customer services, what you're talking about. Why don't you take us through those?
Absolutely. I would love to. So these are the 10 service phrases you should know. So number 10, I apologize for our mistake. Let me make it right. Steph, do we ever have this happen?
Yeah, I frequently find that it's difficult for people to apologize because they, certainly on site, because they think they're admitting blame or responsibility. And so I think it's even important to role play those, that I'm sorry, statement. Because frequently, that's definitely a challenge to get people to apologize and know they're not admitting blame. They're not taking complete blame, but they're apologizing for the situation.
And I think your team sometimes takes it personally.
Yes, of course. Of course, you're working where people live. And, you know, part of me as a manager wants them to take it personal. I was counseling an employee yesterday, and, you know, she was started crying about something. And she's like, I'm sorry, I take this very personal. And I said, well, good, I'm glad. I'm glad that you take it personal because that means you care. If you weren't crying and you weren't upset about making a mistake, then that would mean you didn't care. Mm-hmm. So I would much rather have passion and in, you know, engagement in what they do and emotion than have somebody that doesn't care at all.
So, and one thing that I just want to throw out there is it's key to use the word I apologize. Using I apologize instead of I'm sorry, because mm-hmm. I'm sorry does take it away from being so personal with the other person on the other end. So I always like to say apologize versus I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I just think is a fun factoid is that when we look at what residents and prospects are looking for in a response to a review, apologies at the bottom, you guys. Mm. They're looking for a commitment to resolve the issue.
Interesting.
That's their number one. So just keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. In person, of course, we want to apologize. We definitely want to do that as part of customer service, but I just wanted to throw that little fun factoid out there. So number 9, the 9 most important words. They say here, thank you for your business. Please come back again. I've changed it up a little bit for us. Thank you for living here. Please refer a friend.
That's
yes,
great.
Yes. I think asking for referrals is difficult too. Mm-hmm. People don't want to. I think we just forget when we're talking to residents to say, hey, do you have anybody that might be looking for an apartment?
Yeah, you like you, invite more people like you to live here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the 8 most important words. Oh, my goodness, Stephanie.
That's
I'm not sure, but I will find out.
Yes, that's admitting I don't know everything. How does it even happen in our industry? Yes, I don't know, but I'll find out. We do video shops on our properties, and it's always interesting when you see leasing agents that are asked questions that they don't know. You're watching it like in, you know, like a dramatic series, wondering if they're going to invent an answer, or if they're going to just break down and say, you know what, I'm not quite sure. Let me ask my manager. The things sometimes people make up are amazing. If there's a vacant lot next to you and we've seen shops where there's a vacant lot and the prospect will say, so what's going to be built there? And they're like, oh, that's going to be a CVS distribution center next week. And I'm like, really? Where did that come from?
Well, and you build so much credibility mm-hmm. with that potential resident, with that current resident, with that potential customer whenever you, I don't know, but let me find out. The key is making sure you get back to them. Mm-hmm. All right. So the 7 most important words. What can I do for you?
Ah, good. Yes. Mm-hmm. Claim it. Own it.
Mm-hmm. 6 most important words. What is most convenient for you? And that couldn't relate more to our business than this. You know, people typically work those jobs during the day. Yes. Our office hours are during the day. So really being flexible for that customer to make sure they can come in and do whatever paperwork it is or whatever that need is, that meeting that they need to have, keeping the office open, maybe staggering those times. And for those smaller owners, I know that's a little more difficult, but finding those times you can give your employee off if they're having to work around the schedule of their clients.
Sure. Or service request is a big one. You know,
right.
Some residents are very sensitive about you being in their apartment when they're not there. And so figuring out a time that works for them that you can compromise and be available without, you know, having them there during regular work hours.
So the five most important words, this one is, how may I serve you? You know, we're here to serve our residents, and just changing up your words instead of what can I do for you? How may I serve you? That may take somebody, you know, back a little bit and get their attention, because it goes back to that servant leadership. Those listening today, that's a great topic for you to look up and discuss with your teams about becoming a servant leader. The four most important words, woohoo, how did we do?
Ah, yes, asking for the referral. You know, we have several properties that have ranked very high in apartment ratings polls and such things, and we have found that the property managers that embrace it and they add it to their signature line and they hand out referral cards and they seek feedback always do better than the ones that are avoiding it. And, you know, it's amazing because sometimes the ones that avoid it are providing the best service, but they're just afraid.
Right.
And so, you know, false evidence appearing real, right? And so if you don't embrace that and you don't seek feedback, then how are you ever going to change? You know, and we've gotten our fair share of bad reviews. Let me tell you, you know, I get a ding, ding, ding on my cell phone frequently. We had one recently about, this was amazing. It was a gentleman that didn't even live at the property that said that he had friends that lived at the property that were unhappy. And so because he had friends that lived at the property and unhappy, he gave us a 1-star. And so, you know, I reached out to him and I was like, you know, while I appreciate you sticking up for your friends, you know, I really feel like this is quite unfair. I would love to talk to your friends about your review. But it's interesting that servant leadership is important and asking for reviews.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And finding out, you know, just really how did we do? Because sometimes we think we know what they think, mm-hmm. but we don't. And so I think surveys are very important, whether you're doing it in-house or utilizing a third-party company, because you can make the mistake that Ritz-Carlton did, spending millions and millions of dollars on renovating their flagship bathrooms in their properties. And they were so excited about this green marble that they picked out, and they couldn't wait to get the feedback from all the guests. And, you know, they flew people in from all over the world to create this beautiful bathroom. They put out comment cards. The guest hated it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely hated it. They wanted a white bathroom. They wanted to see that it was clean. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we think we know what our residents want, but we really need to ask what they want.
Mm-hmm. I was going to just tell you that someone told me a long time ago a phrase that's never left me. It doesn't matter what you think people think. It only matters what they really think.
Absolutely. Sure. You got it.
Yeah.
All right. The three most important words. Glad you're here.
Mm-hmm. We don't say it enough. Yeah. Many property management professionals in all industries take it as a, I don't want to say a burden, but almost a burden. When someone walks in the office, it's, oh, wait, I got to stop what I'm doing. I have to stop this paperwork to actually talk to a real person. To me, that's refreshing. I'm like, thank goodness. Let me get up and do something else, which is a blessing in our industry and also a curse. Mm-hmm.
And thinking of glad you're here, reminding your employees. Sometimes mm-hmm. we get so busy. And just to look at that employee and say, you know what? I'm so glad you're here. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you're part of this team. So it's not just for our residents. It's for each other as right. well. And then the two most important words, thank you.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. When we have a review or when someone gives us a negative comment about something, even in person, we, you know, our culture, and I hope that we portray this in more ways than one, and there's many, many training classes I've been to, thank them for giving feedback, even if it's negative. You know, because if they're coming to you to give that feedback and complain about something, I want to thank them because I'm glad that they came to me instead of going to Facebook or Instagram or Google, right? So thank them for their service. Thank them for helping. Thank them for letting you know that you've disappointed them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That just manners. Basic mm-hmm. manners sometimes are so often forgotten.
Yes. Grace and courtesy.
And the number one most important word, mm-hmm. yes. Become a yes person.
Yes, I can do that. Instead of no, no, no.
And empower your employees to be able to say yes, to find creative solutions for your residents, instead of having to always go to the manager or to whoever that power that be is. Let them know there's certain parameters that, you know, they need to stay within. Mm-hmm. But other than this, they have the ability to become a yes person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fix the problem. Find a solution. Instead of handing out notices about what they can't do, We try as hard as we can, and we should in the industry point out what they can do. Instead of no parking, you can park here. Mm-hmm. Instead of we don't accept packages, it's this is what we prefer for you to do. And so finding ways to make that a solid relationship, I think, are important. You know, whenever there's, again, whenever there's people involved in that process, I think it's a give and take. You know, you gotta find balance.
Mm-hmm. So, Stephanie, before we end the segment in a few minutes, give us a couple of real-world examples of success stories where you've turned a bad situation into a good situation and how you've done it.
Yeah. You know, I think with residents, it's always satisfying when they come in screaming and yelling about, you know, we get a lot about notices if someone pays their rent, someone pays their rent with a check and or a money order or some form of paper payment, and they scribble their name and they think that they're the only resident we have when we have 250 and we're supposed to know what that means. You know, there could be times when we accept money from someone and we have no idea where to post it. And so if they pay their rent on time and we don't know where to post that, either we'll hold it or we'll post it to kind of a ghost account. So we won't know really who that belongs to until we send a notice to the person that gave us it. And so in the multifamily industry, we're required by law to give a 3-day notice to vacate. That's how we pursue an eviction process that mm-hmm. protects our owner's rights. And so on the 4th of the month, we frequently will give out 3-day notices saying, pay your rent or we will file eviction. It's a standard letter and it's not very friendly. And so certainly if someone repeatedly pays their rent on time and they were to get this fluorescent notice on their door, and we don't deliver it that way, but if they were, then it could be disturbing to them. And so they come in, Sandy Leaser comes in screaming and yelling that she paid her rent on time and she doesn't understand when she's getting evicted. And you know, people get really mad when you think that they don't pay their rent. And so they come in screaming and yelling, and you're able to turn that situation around and let them know that, hey, you know, you're not the only one here. And when they're actually thanking you when they leave the office is very, very satisfying. And with employees as well, you know, when you have an online review that you had no idea, and we reach out as a management company, the manager had no idea that the expectations were gone. We've had a resident before that wanted to, you know, complain, everything's awful. And after I sat down and talked with her about how the process works and her expectations, she actually asked if she could renew her lease. And so that's kind of shocking.
Sure.
You know, a resident comes in to complain that their neighbor's too loud. And I'm like, well, what if I'm sorry that they're too loud. We'll deal with it. But I noticed that your lease is up for renewal in a couple months. And would you be willing to renew right now at the same rate?
Yeah.
Right. And so, yes, absolutely. And I'm like, well, that's interesting because you were just ready to move out because your neighbor was too loud. So we have it. Property management's crazy.
Okay. Well, tell everybody how they can reach you if they've got some
sure. I'm Stephanie Graves, Q10 Property Advisors. Our website is Q10Q10PA.com. I'm online. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, all that fun stuff. So find me.
Okay. Mindy?
Yeah. Same here. Mindy Price with J. Turner Research. You can reach me at mprice@jturnerresearch.com. Our website is jturnerresearch.com. You can also find all of the data that I presented, some of the information today, under our resource tab, and would love to hear from you.
Great. Well, thank you, ladies, for coming in. I think it's a fascinating show. We will be back next Friday and each and every Friday at 10 a.m. with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.